Live from the old Courthouse Square Museum in West Bend, Wisconsin, Frequency Radio Theater is now on the air.
It's spring, and the year is 1941. In a quiet downtown Milwaukee tavern, we join the nighttime activities of private investigator Alex Stoley and tavern owner Jimmy in a cold, very smoky, dimly lit hideaway known as Jimmy's Fifth Avenue Tavern. Private Eye Alex Stoley is not your typical private detective. He has no office, no secretary, no partner, and no reputation. The entities of the crime-fighting world seem to walk in on Alex whether he likes it or not. Mystery and trouble also find Stoley in our episode, The Act of Jealousy. Alex, a stocky middle-aged man, is sitting on the last stool at the end of the bar all alone, trying to drown the horrors of his past in a stubborn brown glass of alcohol.
Katie. Katie, wake up, honey. Katie, wake up. No!
Al, Al, Alex!
No. What?
You all right, Al?
Yeah, just a little groggy.
Another whiskey, sweet Al.
Thanks, Jimmy. I can always count on you to ease my pain.
Yeah, well, your pain is running me a long tab.
You know I'm good for it, Jimmy.
That's about all you're good for.
Just give me the drink so I can get back to my meeting.
What meeting? The you and the bottle? Are the two of you planning on a huge business merger? You know, Al, people are starting to talk.
Don't flatter yourself, Jimmy. You're not my type.
You know, prize yourself, Al.
Maybe I should take my business elsewhere.
So why don't you?
You have the closest bar to my basement apartments on Oakland. Ouch.
What?
My hand still hurts from being run down by the car that killed. Can I get another drink, Jimmy?
You don't need a drink. What you need is to get out of that hole in the ground you call a home and take a vacation. Go up to Minocqua. Visit Mother Nature.
Thank you, Doctor. You worry too much, Jimmy. Besides, Mother Nature and I get along just fine. I truly enjoy the fresh air of the city life. What's with all the blue smoke in this place? How come you don't get that fan fixed?
Cover your tab and I'll fix the fan. By the way, here's your drink.
Thanks for the drink, Jimmy. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
With some money?
Soon, Jimmy. Soon.
I wish the bank was as forgiving as I am.
I'm heading home. Good night, Jimmy.
Oh, my head.
Jeez, buddy, I didn't see you there. When you only have one working arm, you tend to place more power into your last mobile limb.
I get that a lot. Now you're injuring my clientele, Al.
I didn't see him, Jimmy. Hey, buddy, let me buy you a drink.
You buy him a drink? With what? A bag of magical beans?
Thanks. I'll just take the scotch on the rocks. On the other hand, skip the scotch. I just need the ice. My head feels like it's gonna explode.
Then I'll take the scotch. Put it on my tab, Jimmy.
Why not? What's one more drink?
You sure you're okay, buddy?
Yeah.
What's with that huge lump on the back of your head?
That's from earlier tonight. Now I have a lump on my forehead to match. I might as well start a bird sanctuary with all these goose eggs on my head. Oh, that hurts.
Were you mugged?
No, I was. Well, it's a long story. I really need to find someone, and I don't have time for a long story.
Who are you looking for?
A private detective by the name of Alex Stoley.
That's me. Who are you?
Babe Connors. I'm a reporter for the Milwaukee Gazette.
Babe? As in the baseball player? Hey, buddy, I'm no coach, but you look a little scraggly to be hitting home runs.
No, no, no. I'm a photojournalist. And Mr. Stolle, I have information on a murder that might interest you.
After a few introductions and a few drinks, Babe, a rookie reporter and photographer for the local city newspaper, The Gazette, told Alex that he was taking photos aboard the SS Milwaukee Clipper, a small, luxurious yacht located at the harbor. According to Babe, Edward Hinckley, a local business tycoon, was throwing a party for Milwaukee's elite. Babe was hired to take photos for the society page of The Gazette. Invited guests included the mayor of Milwaukee and his wife, a director from the local theater, and an actress. By the end of Babe's story, the actress was found murdered. Babe was thrown off the ship for trying to do his job, taking pictures of the social highlight of the evening, murder. Was this really a party to die for? Babe mentioned that everyone was quite shocked about the death of the young actress, Sarah Lane, but of course, no one saw anything suspicious. Alex stumbled over to his basement apartment shortly after 1 in the morning. At around 5:15, Alex woke up to a pounding on his door and a pounding in his head.
Oh, my aching melon. All right, I'm coming. Where's my gun? Anyone delivering a wake-up call this early in the morning deserves a bullet. What the hell do you want?
Good morning, Mr. Stolle.
Who are you? Do you know what time it is?
My name is Gilbert King. I'm the mayor's assistant.
What do you want?
The mayor was present at a party last night.
At which an actress was murdered, I know. Now, good night, Mr. King.
Wait!
The mayor requests your assistance in exchange for a healthy payment.
A healthy payment, huh? What does he want done?
He wants you to investigate the murder.
Why me?
He wants the murderer to be found as quickly as possible.
And the local police are too slow?
The mayor has a certain vested interest in this homicide.
Cut the double talk, King. Tell me why the mayor wants me on this case. Is it his plan to cover up the murder for some vested interest?
What are you insinuating?
Did he kill the young girl?
No, he did not. The mayor has a solid alibi.
Then what is his vested interest in this case?
You must understand, Mr. Stolle, that this case has to be very discreet.
So the mayor's vested interest would be covering up an experience in adultery.
Listen, Mr. Stolle. Sarah Lane was an actress who grew up in the poorest section of Milwaukee. She knew that in order to make it onto the silver screen, she had to get to California first. Sarah was hoping that her long, platinum blonde hair, that was her signature look, could be the key to her stardom. While Miss Lane was in Hollywood, she didn't learn much about acting, but became an expert in the art of blackmail.
And the mayor was happy to oblige the young starlet.
Young is the operative word, Mr. Stolle. She knew that allegations of the mayor having an affair would destroy his career.
Did the mayor know her age?
He had no clue.
What proof would she have of their relationship?
Allegations would be enough to bury a mayor who won his last election with only 54% of the vote.
All right, Mr. King. You have me on the mayor's payroll.
And your fee, Mr. Stolle?
$1,000.
That's absurd!
Well, I'm sure the information you've given me will be in the Milwaukee Gazette by tomorrow. I think they'd offer at least twice that much for exclusive rights to report on a local political scandal.
How dare you! Mr. Stolle, my final offer is $800.
Your offer is accepted. Let me look at the initial police record.
All the angles were covered in last night's investigation. What are you doing? Those are city documents.
You don't trust the local police, yet you give me their initial investigation report. That's rich.
I was afraid you lost your mind.
Relax, King. They were duplicates. And there's a very good chance important information was missing from this report. When the cops believe the mayor's office might be looking for outside help, they tend to keep a full house in their hand while showing their neighbor a sad pair of deuces. Don't worry, King. I'll call you when I find the person who killed Miss Lane.
I would appreciate that. Good day, Mr. Stolling.
Ouch!
Who are you?
I'm Babe Connors, photographer for the Milwaukee Gazette.
Gazette? Stoll, you double-crossed me. I'll have...
Relax, King. Babe is working with me on this case. He's my partner.
Partner? Do I get to carry a gun?
No.
All right, Stoley. I'll trust you. But if this problem is leaked to the press, a lawsuit will be filed by our office for sure. Good day, Stoley.
Was that the mayor's assistant?
Yes.
What did he want?
He wants me to solve the case as soon as possible.
Of course he does. Who wouldn't want a murder solved immediately?
The murderer.
You do have a point there. Oh, the pictures are being developed and should be finished by this afternoon.
Good.
I still don't know what you're looking for. They're just photographs of people during a party.
Babe, sometimes there's more to a photo than the image itself. You of all people should know that an entire story can be told in a single photograph.
Then probably a whole epic could be told in these pictures. That party on the SS Milwaukee Clipper was so boring, I almost fell asleep at the lens.
Who owns this yacht? Hinckley or another richy rich guy?
Edward Hinckley, the so-called wealthy industrialist.
Of course, if it's Mr. Hinckley's party, it must be on Mr. Hinckley's yacht. Was he acting strange at the party last night?
Well, he did look pretty upset. Rumor has it that Edward Hinckley is on the verge of bankruptcy. But he could be the type of guy that becomes nervous around people like the mayor and his entourage.
The mayor? Of course. Why didn't I think about it when King was here?
What are you talking about?
How could the mayor or his wife be involved? Ever since President Theodore Roosevelt was nearly assassinated in Milwaukee, there are always at least two bodyguards surrounding the mayor.
And you know what? Those bodyguards didn't even move an inch last night.
Then neither did the mayor or his wife. Babe, get a list of every person you know of who attended that party.
And how do I get a list like that?
I don't care what you need to do. Snoop around the police station, dig through the garbage dumpster, bribe a rookie officer in broad daylight if you have to. Just get me that list.
Where are you going?
To talk to Mr. Hinckley and to investigate the scene of the crime.
We'll return to Frequency Radio Theater's presentation of Alex Stoley, Private Detective, The Act of Jealousy, right after this commercial break.
Welcome to a West Bend Company mini mystery. If you've been wearing out your shoe leather trying to find appliances and home accessories at true discount prices, solve this mystery with a visit to the West Bend Company outlet store. Instead of putting a dent in your Studebaker driving around place to place, make a dent in your gift list for weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, and, of course, your holiday shopping. Which leads us to our next mystery. Just where is the West Bend Company outlet store located? From downtown West Bend, follow Highway 33, that's Washington Avenue, just across the tracks at North Avenue along the Milwaukee River. And join us next week when we'll solve the mystery of whatever happened to West Bend Company outlet store manager Bernie Kiefer. Here's a clue. Visit the outlet store and look near the percolating West Bend coffee maker. Another mystery solved with the West Bend Company outlet store.
Ladies, do you know the secret to a perfect pie crust? Well, it's maple leaf lard. Yes, with maple leaf lard, you always get a perfect flaky pie crust. And nothing beats maple leaf lard for frying foods. Fried chicken is tender and juicy on the inside, golden crispy on the outside. Why take chances with newfangled vegetable shortenings when millions of housewives have relied on pure maple leaf lard for generations? Look for it in the bright red can. The 10-pound size is only 29 cents. And if you can't find it, ask your grocer to order it. That's maple leaf lard. Now we return to Alex Stoley, Private Detective, The Act of Jealousy, on Frequency Radio Theater. Alex Stoley went to the harbor to visit the crime scene and to chat with Mr. Hinckley. When Alex got to the lake, he saw the SS Milwaukee Clipper. She was docked in the cold Lake Michigan waters. That water was cold enough to shiver you to the bone. If Stoli had an overcoat, he would have used it to guard his black wool suit from the darting spray. Alex approached the side of the ship to get away from the freezing mist and saw several people along the side of the boat who had the same idea. Half of them were police officers guarding the crime scene. The other half were reporters. Alex got past the first wave of reporters and police officers quite easily with his badge and bull. But getting onto the ship itself would take more than a fake 5-cent plastic badge. He needed to get past Detective Bannister, the man in charge.
What are you doing here, Stoli? Hey, how did you get past my officers? Woods, get rid of this guy.
It's good to see you too, Jack.
I'm here about the Sarah Lane case. If you don't mind, I'd like to get on this boat and actually begin the investigation.
I'll see you thrown into the lake before I let you on this yacht.
So why would anyone call on you to solve this case?
Jack, people like my track record. They know I get results.
Even if it means twisting the law and creating chaos wherever you go?
You guys work by the book. I choose to rewrite it.
Officer, arrest this scum for trespassing.
But, Lieutenant, what about the two waitresses? Don't you need to interview them about the murder?
No, I don't need to interview those two girls. They can leave.
Lieutenant Bannister, are you sure? Isn't the waitress...
Officer, you will allow those waitresses to leave this ship, or I will have your badge. And arrest this lowlife by the name of Alex Stoli for trespassing.
Yes, sir.
Alex Stoli?
Mr. Hinckley?
Yes, I am Edward J. Hinckley. Detective Bannister, please allow Mr. Stoli aboard. I've been expecting him.
Mr. Hinckley, do you know what type of man you're letting onto this boat? You'll regret this.
Don't worry, Jack. I'll fill you in on the crime when I actually find the evidence that your boys missed.
Hinckley's SS Milwaukee Clipper was a luxurious tugboat indeed. The dining area was still decked out in ribbons and streamers from the previous night's festivities. There were balloons and confetti all over the floor. Edward Hinckley was a thin, short man with a distinguishing nervous twitch to him. Alex Stoli grabbed a balloon and began his interrogation.
Let me get the door. Oh, you scared me. Oh, the mayor contacted me, Mr. Stoli. He told me that you would be working on this case.
Oh, he did he?
Yes, the mayor has a lot of bad publicity coming his way.
I understand, Mr. Hinckley. Do you think you could give me a tour of your yacht and explain what happened last night?
Where to begin? It was quite an elegant affair, one of my best parties in months. The ship was completely crowded. Over 100 of Milwaukee's finest, creme de la creme of the city's social scene, were in attendance. The party was extravagant, except for the servants who brought the cheaper caviar at the wrong time. I was also supposed to receive a contraband shipment of expensive French champagne, Chateau Fond du Lac, that unfortunately is now on ice at the Chicago airport. Then I had a cocktail waitress have the gall to tell me that she was too ill to work.
Do you know what this story needs?
What?
A point. Get to it.
Well, I have never been so insulted.
Where was the body found?
Well, the body was found here in the galley. I overheard Detective Bannister say that she was stabbed several times in the back with a knife. The detective also said that he was ruling out premeditated murder. It was most likely a spontaneous robbery gone wrong.
Wait a minute. An amateur PI could tell you that this is not the type of room where a spontaneous robbery takes place. This kitchen is far too small and brightly lit. However, that closet in the corner could be used as the perfect hiding place. Quite a few cabinets and drawers in this kitchen. It'd be easy for the police to miss a clue. I'll have a look here. Some knives, spoons, cleaver, no. Nothing here. That's odd. When was the last time you cleaned your sink? Look what we have here.
That's disgusting. What is it?
It's hair, Hinckley. A handful of long, blonde hair.
Oh,
Poor Sarah.
Excuse me? You called Miss Lane by her first name.
Of course I know her first name is Sarah.
But you called Miss Lane by her first name quite naturally, like you had an emotional attachment to her.
What is your point, Mr. Stoley?
How well did you know Sarah Lane?
Why, I just met Sarah Lane last night. Will you please stop that awful noise with those balloons?
Hinkley, you knew her longer than last night, didn't you? That's why the mayor contacted me to clean up this mess. Adultery, motive, and murder is a dangerous cocktail, Mr. Hinkley.
Mr. Stoley, we don't want any embarrassing situations arising from something that happened almost 2 years ago.
Tell me the full story, and maybe no one will be embarrassed.
Oh, yes. Sarah and I had relations.
And it began 2 years ago. Then what?
Well, then about 3 months ago, she left for Los Angeles. I didn't hear from her again until last night.
Didn't you invite her?
No, I did not. She came with another guest, Professor Vincent Bernelli from the local university.
Were Sarah and this Bernelli guy dating?
That tramp never dated. I don't know why Professor Bernelli brought her to the party.
Didn't you ask him?
Certainly not. When Sarah left for L.A. with almost $2,000 of my money, our relationship was done for.
Blackmail money. Did Bernelli know about you and Miss Lane?
I doubt it.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Hinckley. I'll return if I need to talk to you again, and by the way, make sure you keep this boat tied to the dock. It would be unfortunate that I'd have to track you down heading towards the Atlantic Ocean. I get very angry when I have to make expensive trips to the East Coast.
Oh, understood. Please call if you need anything.
I will.
We'll return to Alex Stoley, private detective, after this brief commercial message. This broadcast is coming to you from the circuit courtroom of the old Washington County Courthouse Museum, home of the Washington County Historical Society. The museum is open on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and on Sundays from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. The old courthouse has 2 floors of exhibit space, with permanent and temporary exhibits covering local business and industry, early settlers, family, social, and cultural life, and more. The museum will host a special model train display from December 9th through December 16th. And next door to the museum is the old Washington County Jail, which is undergoing renovation at this time. Frequency Radio Theater is proud to present its Alex Stoley Mystery in the Museum and thanks the Washington County Historical Society for its support. As Alex returned to Jimmy's Fifth Avenue bar, he tried to digest all the information he had learned from the interview with Hinckley.
Wait a minute, buddy. This is my story. Let me tell them what really happened.
Oh, by all means.
I saw how Sarah Lane had angered the mayor and Hinckley, but were they angry enough to kill young Miss Lane? The large clump of blonde hair gave the clue that this was not about getting even for a blackmail scheme. I took another meeting with my new partner, Babe Connors, and my old partner, Blue Ox Texas Whiskey. An impromptu meeting with Professor Bernelli was on the agenda for late in the afternoon. I would need to talk to him in order to clear the fog on my view of this case.
Well, how did the interview go with Mr. Hinckley?
Horrible. The city police have set me back days, maybe even weeks, in investigative work. Babe, did you get the master list of everyone who was on the Milwaukee Clipper last night?
Yes, I did. Here it is.
Mr. Hinckley, Miss Lane, the mayor and his wife, and Professor Bernelli. What do you know about Bernelli?
He's a professor of literature, and I think he specializes in directing Shakespearean plays.
Great. A cultured man. Babe, who are these other people on the list?
Most are social elite. Some are part-time waiters whom I've known from my days as being a maitre d'.
So most of these waiters are university students?
Not only university students, but most of the waiters came from the drama department. They rub shoulders with directors, producers, and other actors while serving drinks at the local cocktail parties after the closing of a major theater production. Actors in their element can be the most vicious type in the crowd. Often, they can cross the limits of morality to get the lead role in a play.
Babe, go talk to these people and find out the connection between Miss Sarah Lane and our recent list of suspects. And one more thing. I need you to get me Sarah Lane's autopsy report.
Alex, what about these pictures? Hey, where are you going now?
The party photos can wait. Meet me at my apartment at 10 p.m. tonight. I'll need to pick the brain of the scholarly Professor Brunelli. The crime was starting to make some sense. I had a pretty good hunch for the motive behind the killing of Miss Lane, but a hunch wasn't going to get me any closer to the killer. I was hoping that my talk with Brunelli would supply the missing piece to the puzzle. But could I be walking into the home of a cold-blooded killer?
Well, who are you?
Alex Stoley, private detective. I need to talk to you about a few things.
I was expecting you. There was a murder on the yacht of a rich tycoon while the city mayor happened to be aboard. Someone had to hire a filthy mercenary to find the killer regardless of the costs.
What are the costs? Your reputation as a great director turned killer?
How dare you!
You throw another book at me and you'll meet my friend, the staircase. How did you know Sarah Lane?
She was a former student. Nothing more.
Student? What kind of extra credit was she doing for a scum like you?
It was never like that. I enjoyed Sarah for her artistic talent, nothing more. It was purely a working relationship, I swear. Now let go of me.
So why bring her to the party? You must have known her greedy appetite.
Sarah had just arrived yesterday and was available for the party. I had no idea of her connections with the mayor and Mr. Hinckley until Sarah told me that night.
So where were you when Sarah's body was found?
I was still at the party. I was talking to the mayor about additional funding for a new art museum just before he and his wife left. I do have a solid alibi. You could ask your precious mayor yourself.
I see. So, you direct Shakespeare, that to be and not to be stuff.
Please, hold your best Hamlet impression for the concubines down at your local tavern. I would direct any theatrical production when the circumstances are right.
And what circumstances are those?
The necessities of life. Money, power, and fame, of course.
Those are also very good reasons for committing murder.
A rational observation, Mr. Stoley. You should receive an award from the Investigation Guild for finding the most obvious clue of the month. If you are finished, I would like to disinfect my apartment. The stench of your presence is destroying my beautiful decor.
A search for money, power, and fame. Were these also the reasons why Sarah Lane returned to Milwaukee to cause trouble?
As far as I know, she had no intentions of causing trouble.
Well, other people I've talked to suggest she had intentions of going beyond causing trouble.
Those people didn't know Sarah like I knew Sarah. I was the only person that understood the real Sarah Lane.
The way I see it, a snake is a snake, no matter how many skins it sheds.
How dare you tarnish her memory with such filth? Get out! Get out of my house before I call the cops!
Listen, buddy. We can do this now or do this later. Hey, stop pushing me! Darn it. Shown the door again. As I was pushed into the night, I tried to understand what type of life Sarah Lane actually lived. What role did Vincent Brunelli play in the life and death of the beautiful actress? I hoped that a telephone call from Babe could give me something to go on. What can you tell me, Babe?
I have a pal in the medical examiner's office, so I got a look at the autopsy report. There is something strange.
What?
Well, the stab wounds in Miss Lane's back are triangular in shape. That kind of wound isn't consistent with a kitchen knife.
That's what I figured you'd find. What else you got?
Well, Miss Lane was well known by the group of waiters that night at the party.
How?
It seems that some of the waiters usually go out together. Most of them are actors and actresses. Miss Lane used to be a waitress a few years ago until an incident at one of the parties. A fight with another waitress cost her her part-time job.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it one of the waiters that found Sarah Lane dying dead on the kitchen floor after the party? Do you have the name of that particular waitress who found the body?
Sure. A young woman named Cynthia Bannister.
Who?
Cynthia Bannister.
I know. I heard you the first time. Holy mackerel. Babe, get those photos developed and meet me here tonight.
Where are you going?
To visit an old friend.
Detective, telephone call.
13th Precinct, Detective Bannister speaking. No, I don't have any further statements to make to the press or anybody else about the death on the Milwaukee Clipper. No, we have several suspects being questioned at this very moment. No. Now listen, mister. Hello? Reporters are such idiots.
Detective Bannister?
What is it?
Someone's here to see you, Detective. Sir, please wait outside.
I am not to be disturbed. Can't you see I'm trying to solve a murder?
That's why I'm here, Detective Bannister.
Oh, for the love of Mike, what are you doing here? Stoli, haven't I told you several times that if you ever come on this property again, I would have you thrown out on your keister?
Jack, I have new evidence on the Sarah Lane murder. Evidence that was not accounted for in the initial investigation.
What, are you nuts? Stoli, are you saying I don't know how to do my job? Let me guess. You think the butler did it?
One step down in the servitude department.
What are you talking about?
First of all, why didn't the police report mention that a scissors was used as the murder weapon instead of a knife?
The weapon we found was a knife, a bloody kitchen knife.
I saw the autopsy photos. Every point of entry had two identical triangular puncture wounds close together, not the one puncture that would be associated with a knife. You did not find a knife. You found a scissors. The same scissors that was used to cut Sarah Lane's long blonde hair.
You are on a wild goose chase, Stoli.
Seeing that I'm in the mood for 20 questions, Jack, why didn't you tell me that your daughter found the body?
This investigation is under tight supervision, and that's none of your business.
I was hired by the mayor himself, and every single detail you know, I should know. Now, did your daughter see anything unusual when she discovered Sarah Lane's body?
No.
What time did she find the body?
She found the body after everyone had left.
So what time was that?
She found Sarah Lane's body after everyone had left, Stoli. Now, can you please get off my back? Our department has already looked into this matter and has found nothing out of the ordinary.
Where does your daughter live? I'll stop by her place to question her about that night. Isn't that Cynthia coming through the station entrance? Maybe I'll ask her my questions right here and now.
That is absolutely out of the question. Nobody, including you, is going near her.
Why not? What's going on? What are you trying to hide? Jack, what does Cynthia know? Did she see who killed Sarah Lane?
That's it, Stoli. You lay one hand on my daughter and I'll break your neck.
Jack, what does she know? Get your hands off my throat.
Detective! Jack, get off of him before you kill the guy.
Officer, get him out of here before I kill him.
We'll have the visual proof by tonight. I have photos from the night of the party. Jack, if I find out you're hiding evidence, I will have the entire department under investigation.
Get out!
With a bruised jaw and hardly breathing, I headed back to my apartment, contemplating what Cynthia Bannister knew and what her father, Jack Bannister, was hiding. I was hoping that I'd set enough bait out for a guilty fish to take a bite. By 10 o'clock, Babe was at my apartment with the pictures. I had a feeling that the photos from the party would be the final stitch to close this case.
I have the photos. Ouch! I tell you, Al, my knees are going to be done for before I'm 30. Do you always have a bum sleeping on the step going down to your apartment? Hey, Al, why are you standing behind the door? Is that gasoline I smell?
Babe, just because squeaky doors and steps are not your friends doesn't mean that they're not friends to others. The gas stove was malfunctioning. Why don't you come over here away from the door where there's more ventilation? But let's see those photos.
Take a look at these four photographs. The first two photographs were taken at the beginning of the party during dinner.
And these last two photos?
Taken later that night as... Why are you talking so loud? Why are we looking at these pictures in the corner of the room when the middle of the room is very well lit?
As the people were leaving minutes just before Sarah Lane's body was found in the kitchen. Of course! This is the final piece of evidence we needed. We can now go to the police to convict.
Where did that shot come from?
From behind the door. Take cover.
Al! Al! Al, are you okay?
Call the cops! I'm going after the killer. Second thought, babe. Get out of the building. Fire! Fire! You stop. Babe, the killer's running up the stairs and onto the street. Thank goodness, the gun's empty. I'm P.I. Alex Stoley. One more shot. No, you don't. All right, you hooded thug. Drop the gun before I break your arm.
No, curse you.
Cynthia, I was expecting you a little early, seeing you that been watching my apartment for the last 2 hours. You almost got away with the perfect murder of three people. What drove you to kill Sarah Lane?
For years, Sarah ruined my life. She had destroyed my acting career in Milwaukee and in California. When she stole my fiancé, I found myself filled with anger. Sarah Lane had to be taught a lesson. I had to take something from Sarah that she obsessed over.
So that's why you cut her hair off. Sarah's most prized possession was her signature look.
Yes, and she deserved it. But when I grabbed Sarah's hair, she began to struggle. And then I stabbed her once. She began to struggle even more, and I went blank. The next thing I noticed was Sarah on the floor, and she was dead, with several stab wounds in her back. But how did you know I was the killer?
All right, Milwaukee police. I got a call about a shooting. Cynthia, what's going on?
An attempted murder, Detective Bannister, and a criminal has been revealed. I introduce Sarah Lane's killer.
Cynthia the killer? That is a blatant lie, Stoley.
To answer your question, Cynthia, I didn't know you were the killer. Through the process of elimination and a keen sense of what happened the night of Sarah Lane's murder, I was first able to determine that the mayor and Mr. Hinckley had nothing to do with her death. When I found the cut blonde hair in the drain of the kitchen sink, I came to the conclusion that Miss Lane was not killed over an act of blackmail. She was killed over an act of jealousy. Then my partner found out that you'd been at the party, so I decided to visit your father. When he exploded, I knew either he was covering up for you or for himself.
Alex! I was able to save the pictures from the night of the party.
I'm glad you made it out of the fire alive, babe. But those pictures are useless.
What?
If you remember, I mentioned these very pictures at the police station. The reason I mentioned that I had the pictures from the night of the party was just a tease to catch the real killer. You are not even seen in those photos, Cynthia. I knew that whomever killed Sarah would want any possible physical evidence and the people who processed it to be destroyed immediately. When I returned to my apartment tonight, I noticed that the front door was doused with gasoline, an intended fire hazard. I knew tonight would be the night I would meet Sarah Lane's killer. Quite an entrance, Cynthia. The four bullets you put through the door of my apartment really improved the decor of my place.
Cynthia, I told you. I could have protected you.
Jack, I wouldn't say another word without an attorney present. Officers, she's all yours. Cynthia pleaded not guilty for reasons of temporary insanity, and the trial went on for weeks. The verdict was guilty, and the sentence handed down was 20 years in the local joint. Everyone except the Bannisters and my landlord were quite pleased with my success. Babe got his byline, Jimmy got his money, and the mayor and Mr. Hinckley's affairs were never mentioned during the trial. I had to explain to my landlord why my apartment looked like a burned-out war zone. The damages pretty much swallowed up the rest of my earnings from solving the Sarah Lane case. For yours truly,
I got an opportunity to rest my wounds with a small hot water bottle on my back and an ice pack on my face. You'd think I'd have given up this line of work long ago. Yet I wouldn't give up this opportunity for all the money in the world. It's a zero-sum game, and those are the odds I like. Call me crazy, or call me a hero. When I'm well and back again at Jimmy's, they'll be calling on me again. They always do.
We'll return with the introduction of our actors after this brief commercial break.
Tonight's Radio WTKM presentation of Alex Stoley, Private Detective, The Act of Jealousy, has been brought to you by the West Bend Company Outlet Store. Ladies, if you've been wearing the stiletto heels off of your shoes, trying to find appliances and home accessories at true discount prices, solve your mystery with a visit to the West Bend Company Outlet Store. Instead of putting a dent in your Kissel car, driving around from place to place, make a dent in your gift list for weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, and, of course, your holiday shopping. Which leads us to that next mystery. Just where is the West Bend Company Outlet Store? From downtown West Bend, follow Highway 33, that's Washington Avenue, just across the tracks at North Avenue along the Milwaukee River. And be sure to join us next week when we'll solve the mystery of whatever happened to West Bend Company Outlet Store manager Bernie Kiefer. Remember your clue. Visit the outlet store and look near the percolating West Bend coffee maker. Another mystery solved with the West Bend Company Outlet Store.
Would you like to join us as a member of Frequency Radio Theater? That's right. You can audition to be a voice actor, contribute as a writer, try your hand at Foley artistry, or help with engineering. Frequency Radio Theater needs enthusiastic members who like to collaborate on new and exciting projects. If you'd like to get involved, contact Creative Director Jeff Wolf at frequencyradio@yahoo.com. That's FrequencyRadio@yahoo.com. Frequency Radio Theater. Come be a part of the new golden age of radio.
The Act of Jealousy was produced and directed by Jeffrey G. Wolf. Nancy Litschwager played the bystander and the secretary. Jeffrey G. Wolf appeared as Jimmy the bartender. Brennan Groh was Gilbert King and a police officer. Bill Meck played Jack Bannister and Vincent Bernelli. The role of Edward J. Hinckley was played by Charlie Mayhew. Lisa Lane was Cynthia Bannister. Craig Ellefson played Babe Connors. And the role of Alex Stoley was played by Anthony Teofilo. Sound effects were performed live by the Frequency Radio Theater Players and built by Tim Swanson, Mike Canope, and Jeffrey G. Wolf. The siren was courtesy of Keith Franz. The original music was written by Ryan Ellefson, who performed it along with Craig Ellefson and Jeffrey G. Wolf. The story was written by Jeffrey G. Wolf and Jeffrey W. Aaron. This is your announcer, Jed Dalnick.
This is your host, Jeffrey G. Wolf, saying thank you for joining us this evening. From the Washington County Historical Society, WTKM in Hartford, and from the cast and crew of Frequency Radio Theater, we wish you a pleasant evening. This is Jeffrey G. Wolf, your host for Frequency Radio Theater, signing off. And remember to listen tonight, rebroadcast of this very show between 9 and 10 on WTKM. Thank you, everyone.